A look at the local high school sports scene, from coaches and athletes to a preview of this week's games. It's the Rudin Report on WICC. Now, your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Rudin Report Live. We got a good show for you today. We have the FCI quarterfinals are now in our rearview mirror, and we're on to the Final Four with a quick turnaround tomorrow. We're going to have a couple of the key protagonists yesterday joining us today on a good show. We've got Fairfield Ludlow's Ryan Torello and Mason Tobias of Staples going to be coming on with us a little bit. We're down to four teams after the quarterfinals yesterday with Ridgefield, Staples, Fairfield Ward, and Fairfield Ludlow advancing. Really no upsets when you consider the only lower seed was Fairfield Ward at the five against Greenwich. And joining me to break it all down, as always, the coach, Mike Walsh. Mike, how you doing?
Good, Dave. Yesterday was an entertaining and exciting day in many ways, but the seeds I think that we thought would advance did advance. Ward over Greenwich in a very tough game, but, first of all, Ward was on their home court, and second of all, Greenwich had an opportunity to win it at the end, and unfortunately the ball rolled off the rim. But it was a good day for the FCAC as far as competitive games and parity, and the seeds that we thought would advance have advanced, and they're going to make for a great semifinals on Monday.
Yeah, quarterfinals is survive in advance, and I'm talking about myself, not the teams. Longest day of the year for me. I put an extra shot in my cold brew today. I think I left the house at 11 in the morning, and I shut the computer off a little before 1. But it's like you said, it's also a fun day. I want to, before we get our guests on, start going through a little bit through the games. And I want to, do it in order as of my story today, kind of how I broke it down. Mike, I got to ask you, before yesterday, and maybe even right now, if I mention the name Drew Hill, does that have any kind of meaning to you?
Drew Hill, no. I can't say that I know anything about Drew Hill except that he is on the Staples team.
Okay, you told me you read my story today, and that's the only reason I brought it up. I didn't know who Drew Hill was until yesterday when I saw him hit 2 3-point shots in the game and finished with 6 points in what was a really dominant effort by the Staples, kind of just picking up steam as the game went on, 76-54. And the reason I bring up Drew Hill, and I talked about this in our preview show, and yesterday to me was a prototype. We talked about life with Staples after Sam Klacko, who's out with a broken wrist, and people were saying to me, well, Adam Udell's got to do more. He's got to be the difference. And, Adam Udell just has to be Adam Udell, like I said. And, Adam Udell yesterday, 13 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. I said the defense is a given, and the defense was a given. But really the key was going to be they needed other people to pick up the scoring, and it didn't have to be the same person, and it didn't have to be one player. And we've seen Mason Tobias is really, I'll bring up a stat I mentioned to you after before he comes on, but he's been stepping up his game with 19 points. Dylan Lohman, who we kind of figured was the X factor, he had 17 points. But then when you get like 6 from a Drew Hill or 9 points from an Austin Heyer, That's what makes all the difference in the world. That's what Staples has been doing since Klacko got hurt. I think that's the reason why they haven't lost since Klacko got hurt.
Well, I agree with you on that, Dave, and I agree with your first point. I think the guy that really makes them go and is Adam Udall. 10 assists, 9 rebounds, and the 13 points. That's almost a triple-double, but He sets up the others like Lohman and Tobias and Drew Hill to be successful. And, you know, I mean, obviously the loss of Sam Klesko hurts them. But as long as they keep Adam Udall on the floor and he can get the ball to the right people and they can convert, they're going to be tough to beat. They really are, because their defense is really, really good. I mean, Wilton had no answers yesterday against their defense. I mean, I think Lucetta had 18 points, but he struggled, and lost. Some of them came when the game was out of reach. So, I mean, it's Staples, to me, is going to be the team to beat.
Yeah, this stat just seems to never change. 25 field goals, and they have 20 assists. They just moved the ball so well. You could see it right off the bat at the start of the game. Staples' first 8 points. Udall goes in for a layup, then kind of penetrates and draws the defense and kicks the ball out for a couple of open 3-point looks that Lohman and Tobias drain. And, you know, we kind of laughed a little bit about the coach who was saying that he thought the key to, was stopping Udall and not necessarily Klacko. And, you know, we said, and rightfully so, you really have to stop two of them. But, you know, I don't know if it's possible to say that Udall is underrated because he gets a lot of attention, but he just puts so much value. He just contributes in so many different ways that I actually think if you lost him, they have nobody else to really do what he does. Where obviously filling Klacko's shoes is a big void, but you're getting other guys to step up. And like I said, they took an 8-point lead after one. They extended it to 15 at halftime. And, you know, Wilton just couldn't really get itself free. They only shot 35% from the field and 21% from 3-point range. I picked Staples, and I feel even better about my pick after yesterday, because far and away, and it's a drop off to number two, they were the most impressive team yesterday.
I mean, they certainly were. And they dissected the Wilton 3-2 zone, which had been very successful in getting Wilton into the playoffs. And, you know, Udall had an awful lot to do with it. I would describe Udall as a winner. He knows how to win, and he wants to win, and he has a desire. And I think he instills that in the rest of the team, so that obviously he's an important cog, and especially on offense, but also on defense. I mean, he sets the tone as far as their defense is concerned, and that's still, I know we've said it all year long, but it's underrated. And that if they can carry it out the rest of the way, it's going to help them to win an FCAC championship.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention Matt Corrigan with 9 points. It just all adds up. They're getting the scoring they need, and they're just playing real well right now. I think other guys who may have been deferential to Klacko and Udall realize now the onus is on them. If they want to win, they got to step up, and they are. Why don't we quickly before we have our guest come on? Let's talk a little bit about the Fairfield-Ludlow game. I said that was the best game of the day, and it was. The Falcons came away with a 61-50 overtime win over New Canaan, and they're going to be Staples' next opponent. Ludlow hasn't lost to a team all year that was below it in the standings, and that run continued. And it looked like they were going to win comfortably. Yesterday, they jumped out to a 14-point lead in the first half, and it was maintained early in the third quarter. And then the Rams went on a furious run to tie the game and send it into overtime, 47-47. And then great players step up at big times, and Ryan Torello certainly did for Ludlow. He scored the first 7 points of overtime. Part of a 12-0 run that started overtime. He had 10 of those points, and it was reminiscent of the regular season meeting when Ludlow jumped out to an 18-0 lead and came on. So You know, it's the Falcons are getting diversified scoring. They're playing real defense, and if a team can go down fighting and really show itself at its best, New Canaan did that yesterday.
Well, really, I tell you, it was a coaching matchup with Danny Melzer at New Canaan and John Daly at Ludlow, and it looked like Ludlow, as you said, had the upper hand. But the big shot of the game, John Daly said it too, momentum-wise, was a three-pointer just before the buzzer at the end of the third quarter, which cut the lead to 11, and then
Henry Chandler,
I think Henry Chandler made the shot. And he's been playing real well for New Canaan.
Yeah.
And then New Canaan chipped away, came back. They actually had the ball for the last shot, and they set up a play, but Ludlow was able to defend it. It went overtime, and overtime became Torello time, as you talked about. So that it was an exciting game. It was a well-played coach game, and, you know, Ludlow came out on top. But kudos to New Canaan for battling back and the kind of season that they've had. And they're going to be, I think you mentioned in the article, they may see each other again in the Division III state tournament.
Yeah, if I'm an out-of-league team, I don't want any part of New Canaan. They just I keep saying it, but it's true. They've never cheated Danny out of a second of effort. And that's one of the reasons that they've been such a good team, and they're a tough out. There are a lot of athletes on the field and not just necessarily pure basketball players. There's, you know, we've talked about a lot of football players and players who play two sports, but they know how to win. And like I said, they refuse to go down without an effort. And that run into at the end of the game, the fourth quarter, to get the game into overtime was real impressive. Why don't we take a break here now that we've talked a little bit about Ludlow? Because joining us on the other side is going to be Ryan Torello. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back. We're going to be speaking in a couple of minutes with Ryan Torello. Mike, I told you this story. I told you this story coming in, and I debated whether I was going to share it or not. But I want to play Adam Udell playmaker here and set up a question you can ask Adam. Ryan in a bit, because we always talk about John Daly and the kind of person he is. But I interviewed him outside the locker room yesterday, and after the interview, I asked him if it was okay. I needed to use the bathroom if it was okay, and he said, "Yeah, go in, but it's gonna, you know, they're gonna be doing something." And I said, "Well, I'm not gonna interrupt. I'm just going over." I said, "Unless they're gonna douse you with water, just let me know." So I go in, and then I realize that they're waiting for me to get out of there. And I said, I don't think it was the most pressure I ever had in the bathroom. And then after, I kind of joke, "Can I, okay to wash my hands?" And so I get out of there quickly, but I stay to watch. And the reason they're waiting is John comes in, and he's almost like knee high. And he leads them in some kind of a wild, crazy chant, and he's going crazier than all the players are, and that's kind of a typical John Daly story.
That's John Daly, intense, and loves to win, and a great coach,
and loves his players too, and somebody who can talk to us about him and about his team. Big game yesterday, 26 points, 10 in overtime, 7 to start it, is Ryan Torello, and he's with us right now. Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, Dave. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks a lot for taking the time here. First of all, you had a little bit of time to digest everything yesterday. We talked about it a little bit. What's going through your mind? You have a 14-point lead, and it seemed like you were in a comfortable position, and then New Canaan just puts on a furious comeback and sends the game into overtime. What was the mood of the team going into overtime?
The mood going into overtime, you know, we know New Canaan's a tough team. They kind of threw a bunch of junk defense at us. They play that good D, and that happened in the first game we played them. We had a 25-point lead, and they got back to under 10, and we ended up winning by, like, 5. So we knew, we believe, everyone in the huddle believed we were the better team. We believe just keep our mindset steady, go out there in overtime, and try to play the best basketball we played. And I think the 4 minutes in overtime that we played were the best 4 minutes we played all game. So really just trying to keep our head in there and believing that we were the better team and going out there and competing in overtime. Because we knew, you know, New Canaan was super high. They had that comeback. But we just try to stay the level and try to play hard and take it one possession at a time, really.
What's it say about your team? You have not lost to any team that has been below you in the standings at the time. That's, and you guys did that last year. You guys were 8-7 in the league. And you beat all the teams that didn't make the playoffs, and you lost to the 7 teams ahead of you. That's rare to do once, let alone twice. But obviously, it's a big difference going from 8th to 3rd in the standings and doing it. What is it about this team that you guys have not? That basically means you guys don't take a night off, or you don't play down to the level of the opposition. You take everybody seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us, you know, Coach Daly emphasizes playing one game at a time. And really, we do play harder than any team in the league. So I think even on games where our offense might not be there, shots might not be falling, we can always fall back on how hard we play. And kids like, you know, we got kids like Gavin Mertz, Charlie Jones, kids like that who just make – Timmy O'Neill, who just make winning plays, like, every game. They have an extra effort play every game. Really, like, even when the shots aren't falling, we're able to find ourselves pulling out wins when we need them.
I'm going to set up Mike here. I guess you heard I told the story about me using your locker room after the game. First of all, I witnessed the end of it. That must be a tradition. What do you guys do?
Yeah, Coach Daly, he usually takes his sweet time in the hallway. And he took extra long yesterday. But he comes in. He's always quiet. We always kind of hide from him. We duck behind the lockers, or we go into the room, and then he walks in. Everyone's quiet. And then he starts yelling, and everyone just starts going crazy.
That sounds like John Daly. Mike, you and I are obviously big John Daly fans, and we talk about him a lot during the week. You can find out through Ryan a little bit more about him.
Yeah, Ryan, first of all, congratulations and good luck the rest of the tournament. But my question would be, you know, what's it like to play for Coach Daly? To me, watching him, and I've always known him for a while. Actually, I coached against him when he was a player, and the same kind of guy. He was intense. He wanted to win. But as a coach, he seems like he really cares about his players. And I'm just wondering, huh? How is he in practice and during games? And, you know, what's it like to play for John Daly, Ryan?
No, playing for Coach Daly is awesome. A lot of coaches say, like, make your practices harder than the games, but Coach Daly really does a good job at that. There's no one that wants to win more than Coach Daly. He spends, I can't even tell you how many hours he spends preparing for games. Our practices are honestly harder than the games, and he does an amazing job at that. The competitive atmosphere at practice is amazing every day. We have a deep team, which helps. We get to compete against each other, but he really brings out the most in people. He's on you every play. He's trying to get the best out of you, and he's tough at times, but he really has your best interest in mind. And him riding us has really helped us get to the place we are. Helps us play hard, helps us dig in on offensive possessions. So he really does bring out the best in us.
Yeah, he really knows how to turn it on, when to go to the whip and when to go to the carrot, because obviously somebody who rides you all the time, if things aren't going right, it's easy to turn on him. But you could see what you guys did in the locker room, that he's got that fun side to him too.
Absolutely. No, he loves winning more than anybody else, and that rubs off on the rest of the team.
I think people forget, you didn't play last year. You got hurt during football season. You had to sit out the whole year. You came back for football, and You're just having an outstanding year. Just talk a little bit about what it was like last year and what it's meant to you personally just to have the success you've had in your final season there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year was just utterly crushing for me. You know, having to sit through every practice, having to sit through every game, and knowing I wasn't really a part of it was just absolutely horrible for me. It was probably one of, like, the toughest moments of my life. And just having to witness it was honestly awful, but I think it truly shaped me into the player. And, like, to have the season that I'm having right now, you know, I wanted to come back and be the best version of myself. So it motivated me to really work hard this offseason, you know, take no days off and just try to be in the gym as much as I can, even throughout the season now. Like, I thought about yesterday after the game. A year ago today, I couldn't raise my arm above my head. And just thinking how grateful I'd be for, like, knowing that in a year's time I'd be in the place that I was today, it really is awesome to look back at. And I think it kind of reflects the way I play, hopefully. Like, yesterday I didn't want to go out, you know, losing, you know, blowing a 15-point lead. I didn't want to go out like that. So my teammates trust me. My coach trusts me. They were comfortable with me taking shots in overtime. And, you know, I worked really hard, so it's awesome to be able to say that I came back from what I did and got to have the season that I had, and I'm very thankful for it.
As we finish up with Ryan Terrell, Ryan, you got a seismic task tomorrow night, a quick turnaround, and you've got Staples. You had a tough time. I saw the first meeting between you two. What are you guys going to have to do tomorrow that you didn't do during the regular season to be successful?
Yeah, we have to find a variety of scorers tomorrow. The last game we kind of struggled. The last time we played them, we kind of struggled on offense. Gave up too many open threes to them. Staples is an amazing team, so, you know, we got to bring our A game. But everyone on our team, everyone on the coaching staff is confident that we're going to bring it to them tomorrow. So we're super excited.
Well, Ryan, I've done a lot of your games. You've been, especially the last couple of weeks, you've been playing all the teams trying to get in. So I've covered you guys maybe as much as anybody and gotten to know you. And you're a class act. Besides a very good player, and I'm really happy after missing last year, you're having this kind of experience. And I wish you the best of luck going forward in the postseason and the state tournament. And thanks a lot for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you so much, Dave. I can't thank you enough for having me on.
All right, that was Ryan Terrello. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to one of the players that is going to try to stop him tomorrow, Mason Tobias of Staples. You're listening to the Rood Report Live on WICC.
This is WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
CBS News Brief. Elon Musk is getting pushback to his order that all federal workers must provide a report on their accomplishments last week by late Monday or be considered to have resigned. CBS News has learned FBI Director Kash Patel informed staff to ignore the message, and the State Department has advised its employees they are not obligated to report their activities outside of their chain of command. CBS News correspondent Bradley Blackburn tells us
a union that represents 750,000 government workers, the American Federation of Government Employees, called the demand, quote, cruel and disrespectful.
The Vatican says Pope Francis remains in critical condition with pneumonia and a lung infection, but had a peaceful night.
Those few words were of some solace, though, after a more unsettling update Saturday evening, in which we learned Pope Francis endured a prolonged asthmatic respiratory crisis and needed high-flow oxygen.
That's CBS News correspondent Seth Doan reporting from Rome. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Hey, Connecticut, ready to elevate your drive? Genesis of Ridgefield is now open at 10 Tyndall Ave in Norwalk. Swing by to explore our stunning lineup of vehicles and enjoy top-notch service. Check out genesisofridgefield.com to explore our rides or book a test drive. Or better yet, drop in and say hi. Genesis of Ridgefield, where your next adventure begins. Your extraordinary experience starts here. Genesis of Ridgefield, now open in Norwalk. Visit genesisofridgefield.com to learn more.
And starting tonight at 5'9", hailing out of Waterbury, Connecticut, 10-time player of the week, the Sultan of Scratch, Ricky Davis!
Become a legend in the basketball capital of the world. Play the UConn Championship Cash Scratch Ticket from the Connecticut...
He knows everything you need to know about local high school sports. Back to the Rudin Report with Dave Rudin on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to jump from Fairfield Ludlow to the Falcons' opponent tomorrow night, Staples, which we talked about at the top of the show, and real impressive performance last night, 76-52 win over Wilton. And the high scorer was Mason Tobias. He finished with 19 points, and he's joining us right now. Mason, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Nah, thanks for coming on. You all had to be real happy after the game and the way you, not just the way getting the win, but the way you guys won.
Yeah, definitely. You know, FCAC game, you know, any FCAC playoff win is great, especially when you win by 25 points. I think, you know, we really controlled the game from start to finish. All guys, everyone that came off the bench, you know, right from the beginning to the end, you know, I thought we played a complete game.
You had 19 points, you had 8 rebounds, and I got to look up the numbers for the last couple weeks, but you were 7-for-9 from the field. You've kind of stepped up your offensive game a little bit this year, especially since Sam got hurt. Is that something you've been actively attempting to do?
Yeah, definitely. You know, without Sam, you know, we need to find other ways to score. And, you know, I think towards you know, halfway through the year, we started giving me the ball more, you know, down low. And after Sam went down, we saw that, you know, that was something we would have to do, you know, and, you know, play out of the post and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, that's definitely what we've been doing. And, you know, I just, whenever I get it, I just try to make the best play for my team. You know, we got amazing shooters. So whenever I can find Dylan or any of those guys, Austin, Matty Corrigan, you know, I try to get my shooters involved.
I don't know if you realize this, but I looked it up last night after I was done prepping for the show, but I think you're averaging 11.5 points a game, and in the 5 games since Sam got hurt, in 4 of them you've scored between 18 and 21 points, and it's you, but it's a whole bunch of guys on the team. It's Dylan Lohman. It's a guy like Drew Hill coming off the bench. I didn't even know who he was until he hit 2 threes. It seems like you guys have really rallied around losing Sam and all have made the commitment to try to pick up what you've lost without him.
Yeah, I think it really just shows, you know, like Sam's contributions off the court. I mean, on the court and off the court. I mean, I don't really know what I would be as a basketball player without Sam. I've played with him my whole life. I mean, he's gotten me so much better, made me come to workouts when I didn't want to. You know, and like you said, Drew Hill, you know, you're probably not the only one that didn't hear about him before yesterday. And I mean, that just shows our team, you know, the resilience. You know, Drew Hill is one of the hardest workers in the program. Great kid. He deserves everyone. There's not a single guy on our team, whether they wanted to be in the game instead of him, when he hit one of those, both of those threes, weren't, you know, jumping for joy, because, you know, he deserved that. And same with like Dylan Lohman. You know, he's also, like you said, really stepped up these last 2 weeks. You know, I mean, like I said, he's also one of the hardest workers I know, and he's been stepping up huge for us, so it's a team effort.
You mentioned his contributions now that he can't play. Mike, I know you had a question for Mason just regarding Sam and the team.
Mason, first of all, congratulations on the win, and good luck in tomorrow's game and the future. My question is, How does Sam affect the team now that he's unable to play? Does he attend practice and give you guys some pointers? And, you know, I'm sure he's still an important part of the team. What do you think?
100%. He's at every practice. He's still there before everyone, you know, just you know, being there. He's like an extra coach, really. You know, he's on the sideline. He's doing the clock. He's helping out the guards if they need help with the plays. You know, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, we know after he's devastated by his injury, but you know, you really couldn't tell by just talking to him how upset he is. He's helping out the team any chance he can, and I'm sure if we accomplish what we want to, he's going to be just as happy as if he was still playing.
You know, you look at the roster and all these guys that are playing bigger roles now for these final weeks. You're basically a team of juniors and sophomores, a big junior class, but I mean, you're going to lose Adam, and it takes about three people to replace somebody like him. But this is going to, I think, set you up for next year to maybe be even better than you would have been with all these other players getting playing time and confidence. But it's also setting you guys up. I think a lot of people probably figured without Sam, you're not going to be able to compete for a championship. But you guys really, because it's being done by a few players, you guys haven't missed a beat.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, especially about, you know, next year. You know, some of these guys like Austin Heyer and Dylan Lohman, who are sophomores, maybe they were coming off the bench when Sam was playing. You know, still getting roles, but I mean, now jumping into the starting role, I mean, they haven't missed a beat, and you know, they're only going to get better in the off season. And you know, we're definitely not worried about next year. We're not even looking at it. But you know, we have a freshman who's 6'4", 6'5". He's going to be a really good player. Yeah, the future's bright.
Talk a little bit. You could lose a Sam, and you guys can still play good defense, and. Because of some of the players like yourself and Adam and Sam, maybe the defense sometimes gets overlooked, sometimes not. But what is it about the defense? What is it about with Dave Goldshaw, who's done a great job as coach and getting you guys to buy in? And, you know, defense is all work. A lot of people don't like to play in defense. That's all effort, and you guys do it so well. How has it come together to be so effective?
Yeah, I mean, really all credit to Coach Goldshaw. I mean, since he stepped in as the head coach, I mean, we talk about it. Nothing really matters on offense is if you're getting stops and you can run in transition. But, I mean, if you're in one of our practices, you know, it doesn't matter if, you know, you could shoot, make it every single time. If you can't play defense, you know, you're not going to play. And, you know, I think that's like a big thing with, you know, Dylan. You know, Dylan wasn't in the beginning of the year playing as much as he should, as his talent should let him play. And I mean, since the middle of the year, he's been playing as hard as he could on defense and really stepping up. And I mean, that's I think why he's been playing so much and why he's showing like the whole league how good of a player he is. But you know, overall, as our defense, you know, Adam, like you said, it's going to take more than three guys to replace Adam and all he means to our team. You know, he guards the best player. He guards the guy bringing up the ball. You know, it's hard to score on him, I'll say. I mean, Ryan Lucetta, who's a great all-league player, had a really tough time. You know, you can't really – I mean, whenever he guards me, it's basically impossible to get around him. He's just so fast. So, you know, it starts with him on our defense, definitely.
Well, Mason, you were already having a good year before everything happened, and – You've really stepped up and become a leader and a key contributor, and people forget too. You're going to be starring for the baseball team in a couple of weeks. So, congratulations on what you've done, what the team's done. I wish you guys the best of luck. I'll see you tomorrow night, and thanks a lot for joining us here.
Thank you for having me on. Have a good one.
You too. Take care, Mason. That was.
Good luck.
Mason Tobias, we're going to take a break, and we come back. Mike and I will look back at the other two games yesterday and look ahead to tomorrow. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Fall high school sports lives right here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut. Now back to the Rudin Report and your host, Dave Rudin.
All right, we're back, and we're going to finish up. And again, I want to thank Ryan Torello and Mason Tobias for joining us. Mike, You know, people ask why you like covering high school sports, and we've had really great kids on during the season, and it's hard not to like it when you're not only covering the games, but when you get to know people like this afterwards. And you certainly know it from having coached so many great people over the years.
I mean, there's no question, and you know, young men like Ryan and Matt Tobias, they're just good kids, and they work hard, and they're good teammates, and it's just a pleasure to be able to cover them. And I'm sure you must be excited about that and all the great kids you've covered over the years.
Yep, it's been a lot of fun. I've been fortunate, and I've been lucky to be here in Fairfield County. I was lucky to grow up here and lucky to work here. Let's go to the next game I talked about, and it wasn't the prettiest game, but it had a good finish, and it was kind of ironic. We've talked about Fairfield Ward being an inconsistent team on defense, and defense was what won the game for them last night. They shut down Matt Maloney. They shut down Sandro Scott. They had two balls in the final seconds hang on the rim and fall out, and Fairfield Ward came away with a 51-50 win over Greenwich. Two pretty evenly matched teams. Greenwich beat them by a point on Monday, and it was an exciting finish.
No question about it. And you really got a great video of that last second attempt by Greenwich. It was a great play that Coach Murphy drew up, and unfortunately for Greenwich, you know, the shot rolled off the rim, and even the second attempt rolled off the rim. But you know, it was a good win for Ward. They were on their home court, and they had to take advantage of it. And again, it was Jack Kramer who made the big shot. Reverse layup, you know, with little time remaining, was the points that put them ahead. And then, you know, they held on when the ball rolled off the rim. They actually played, as you said, good defense on Matt Maloney, held them to, I think, 3 field goals. And, you know, that's hard to do because he's a really good player. And, you know, I think Aiden made some really good plays, hit some shots. But, you know, I thought that was going to be a higher scoring game than it was. But ironically, the defense on both sides, you know, was a little bit better, and 51-50 final.
Yeah, really, it ended up being a defensive effort. Maloney was held to 10. Sandro Scott had 13 points to lead the team. I think the two of them, I don't remember, the two of them combined for over 40 points in the first meeting. And when Ward plays really good defense, they're a really tough out because they're one of the best offensive teams in the league. I saw them play the same kind of defense when they beat Fairfield Ludlow during the season. And, you know, that's just the team. First of all, it's the first time through a quirk. It was the first time I got to see Greenwich all year. And obviously, it wasn't their A game. But I think even though I didn't see him play the typical kind of game he's had, Matt Maloney, of all the top players in the league, I think he's the most underrated. He gets the least amount of attention, and he's been like a metronome, just solid and steady the whole time.
No, I agree with you on that. You know, he only had 10 points, but he must have had about 4 or 5 assists. And, you know, the big guy inside, number 44, Matt Golden, is that his name?
Michael Golden, he had a big game.
He had a good game. I thought really what hurt them a little bit, Greenwich, was their inability to make foul shots, especially early. I don't know. I didn't see the numbers as far as free throws were concerned. But I know they missed several opportunities early. But you know what? It was a game that neither team deserved to lose, and somebody had to win. And, you know, Ward was fortunate to go on, and, you know, that now they play Staples. So they set up a good matchup there, I think.
Now, Ward's got Ridgefield.
I'm sorry.
Ward's got Ridgefield. And you're talking about foul shots was a good segue to get into the Ridgefield-Stanford game. Ridgefield with a 66-56 win. A real disparity on the foul line. I think it was the Tigers attempted 28 shot free throws, made 21. Stanford only got to the line 8 times. And we got to talk about, that's the Peter Spakowski show. He's just a tough matchup for anyone. And he almost single-handedly got all of the Stanford team in foul trouble. And he made nine of his 10 foul shots.
Yeah, I thought he and the big guy, Jarrett Sutton, kind of took him out of the game because he was able to score inside and get him in foul trouble. I think he only ended up with about 5 or 7 points. They move the ball really well on offense, and they seem to find Stefkowski where they have to. And, he can score inside. He gets you in foul trouble, and he can hit free throws, as you said, 9 out of 10. He, to me, is the key to that team. And, although Alex Hickey's a really good player and, they have a couple other people. So they have 4 or 5 kids that can play. But, Stefkowski really makes them go.
I agree with you. Spakowski is just he's just a really good, agile center. And it was a great effort down the stretch. Stanford got within 3. They hung around the whole game. To Stanford's credit, they were there until the final 4 minutes. And then Ridgefield put the defensive claws on and was able to pull away. But let's quickly, with the time we have left, look ahead to tomorrow. I picked Staples. You picked Ridgefield. We talk about Spakowski, and we're going to have the game within the game. And I'm looking forward to this, Spakowski and Jack Kramer.
Yeah, I misspoke before. I meant to say Ridgefield because the matchups are there. You have Kramer and Sikowski, and then you have Alex Hickey with Aiden and Connors, the other two guards for Ward. It's going to be I think that Ward's going to give them a really good game. And I think if they look inside and get the ball to Kramer, because he can pass out of inside, they're able to stop Sinkowski, they have a chance. But I still like Ridgefield. They've been there before. They know how to win, let's put it that way. As you said, against Stanford, they got to the foul line 28 times, which is the kind of thing that they wanted to do against a team like Stanford. But Ward has the ammunition. And if they can play the defense that they played in the Greenwich game, they have a chance. But I like Ridgefield.
Yeah, I do too. But I agree. We've been saying that if they can play the defense that they did the two games that I've referred to, they're going to be tough because they are a very good offensive team. It'll be interesting. And then I picked Staples, and they got to go against Fairfield Ludlow. I saw the first meeting, and Staples did a real good job against them. They're gonna give Torello a tough time, and they've gotten some of the other guys to kind of step up the last 2 weeks, and I think they're gonna need that. Ludlow's gonna need that again if they're gonna be able to be successful.
Yeah, I really think that the way Staples is playing now, they're on a mission. And I think you said it, Udall is the key. He sets these people up like Matt Tobias and Lohman and others. And I thought the one key thing that we didn't talk about was, I think out of their 22 baskets last night, 20 assists, they seem to have a tremendous amount of assists. And that means you're sharing the ball on offense, and that means that they're converting on offense. And the other thing about Staples that nobody really talks about is they rebound the ball pretty well. You get one shot against them. You don't get more than one shot, which is pretty good for a team with not a lot of size, but enough size and to go get the rebounds. But their defense, I think, will give Ludlow an awful lot of trouble and give Brian Torello a lot of trouble. So they're going to have to get scoring from other places. Mahoney hopefully steps up, and there are two or three others that have been scoring for him recently. But you got to like Staples. They're on a mission.
Yeah, I think they want to show that that they're a real team, and they have showed that they're a real team. But I think that they're rallying around losing Klatko, and they want to go out and show that they're if people haven't been giving them complete credit, and I haven't seen it, and I don't know who would, that they're going to be an effective. They can still win a championship. And I'll say something about that team. I'm real impressed about the balance they're having. I'm real impressed about the way other guys have stepped up. You expected Tobias to go out there and do what he's doing and play a little bit better. And Udell is just, like I said, nobody else has an Adam Udell on the team. So that's really played into Staples' favor as well. And if they keep getting guys like Lohman and Corrigan and Heyer, and if I'm talking about Drew Hill again, that means that things have been pretty successful. Mike, whatever happens, we're going to have a really good championship game. We won't be on until after the final and going into the state playoffs, and we have a fun show with our guests next week, but let's watch the games, and we'll have a lot to talk about, and we'll have a deserving champion come next Sunday.
You can't wait.
All right. That's the Rudin Report Live for this week. Again, I want to thank my guests, Mason Tobias and Ryan Torello. I want to thank Paul Goodman there behind the keyboards. And enjoy the games Monday, tomorrow at Wilton, and Wednesday, part of a doubleheader, the FCAC girls final first, and then the boys final. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody.